Today we will look at Surah number 89, which is Al-Fajr, the dawn or the daybreak. So here the surah's first four ayats begin with waw of the oath to draw our attention to the objects. So it starts off with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim wal fajr. I swear by the daybreak or by the dawn. And here fajr is prefixed with a definite article al to signify that what is meant is what everyone considers to be the dawn. Fajr literally means to tear something in order to let light through. So fajr tears open the night to allow the day through. It is a time of beginning of life. It may also allude to the dawn of Islam. The next ayah says, Walayalin ashr, I swear by the 10 nights. The Mufassirin have given many explanations of this ayah. Among them, the first 10 nights of Dhul Hijjah, the last 10 nights of the month of Ramadan, and the 10 nights of Muharram, preceding the martyrdom of Imam Hussein alayhi salam on the day of Ashura. Let's look at another explanation. During sunset, the earth is illuminated by moonlight. However, during the moon's waxing and waning phases, our planet is dark because the observable crescent disappears rather quickly. So the 5 nights at the beginning and the end of each month, when the moon is waxing and waning respectively, comprise a 10-night period when our planet is at its darkest. So these nights offer a stark contrast to the following daybreak. And then he says, وَالشَّفْعِ وَالْغَطْرِ, and the even and the odd. Shaf is an even number. It's from shafa'a, which means to double, to make even what was odd, to attach, to mediate or intercede. Whilst watr is to lessen. So in essence, it's talking about duality and then one. If we look at Salatul Layl or Namaz-e-Shab, the night prayers begin with several prayers of rakats and end with a specially designed salah, which consists of one rakah, and we call it Salatul Witr, the single or the odd number. So in essence, duality finally merges into one in the witr prayer. And then he says, وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَسْرَ, and the night, when it eases away. Sahara is to take a walk at night. The night walks away. So the oaths of Fajr and Layl are connected. I swear by the night, which walks away when Fajr comes. Major signs are always mentioned before minor signs. And after these oaths, Allah poses a question. He says, هَلْ فِي ذَلِكَ قَسَمٌ لِذِي هِجْرٍ, is there an oath therein here for a person with rock-solid intelligence? Intellect was a means, or is a means, of restraining from doing dumb things. The Arab paralleled intellect with a large rock that stopped you from doing something that was stupid. So if I paraphrase it, Allah is saying, did these oaths contain a message for those who are God-conscious and have control over themselves? Have they understood it? So in essence, in the first section, we have four oaths for those with rock-solid intelligence. Now we move to the second section, where the narrative shifts from nature to history. Allah says, أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبِّكَ بِعَادٍ, have you not considered how your Rabb, how your Lord dealt with the Aad? They were a powerful nation. They were genetically strong. They built amazing monuments. And the Arabs, when they went on journeys, would see the ruins of these monuments. And they would reflect that they were really very powerful. Allah continues, Iram Adatil Imad, of the pillared city of Iram. Iram, the capital of the Aad tribe, contained many palaces with lofty pillars. Literally, Iram means to make a sign out of rocks. Allati lam yukhlaq mithluhu fil bilad, the like of which was never made in any land. A city without equal skilled masons had carved it and its many palaces in the mountains. And Allah is asking, do you know what happened to its people? And then he says, وَثَمُودَ الَّذِينَ جَابُوا الصَّخْرَ بِالْوَادِ, and Thamud, who carved out the rocks in the valley. The people of Thamud carved stones to build their mansions inside the mountains. And then Allah says, وَالْفِرْعَوْنَ ذِي الْأَوْتَادِ, and Fir'aun, the possessor of pegs. See, he had a massive army. Tents are pegged. and the size of your army depended on how many tents there were and how many pegs there were. He also tortured people by pegging them, like he tortured Asia. So Allah mentions now all three nations powerful in building and then in might. And then he says, الَّذِينَ تَغَوْا فِي الْبِلَادِ, who spread oppression in their land. They were examples of rebellious civilizations and tribes. فَأَكْثَرُ فِيهَا الْفَسَادِ, and they multiplied corruption therein. They caused huge corruption. They had beautiful constructions, but it was unbalanced because there was dictatorship, corruption, and the nation's wealth, power, and influence fell into the hands of very few members of the elite who constituted an inner circle. And then the consequence. فَصَبَّ عَلَيْهِمْ رَبُّكَ صَوْتَ عَذَابٍ. So your Rabb, your Lord, poured upon them a portion of punishment. Sabba means to drench, to pour. Salt is a leather whip, the worst punishment, that which is feared the most. And the section ends by Allah saying in Ayah 14, إِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَبِلْ مِرْصَاد. Indeed, your Rabb, your Lord, is ever watchful. Mirsad comes from rasada, which means to keep one's eye on something, to lie in wait, to observe. So first we are shown the whole of creation in its cosmic totality. Then we are given a historical example of the fate of the transgressors. Now after this succession of ayat concerning events in history, we now come to the human being in the present. And this is the crux of the surah, ayah 15 and 16. فَعَمَّ الْإِنسَانُ. So as for the human being, إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ رَبُّهُ فَأَكْرَمَهُ وَنَعَمَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَكْرَمًا. When his Rabb, when his Lord tests him, then treats him with honor and lets him lead an easy life, he says, my Lord has honored me. وَعَمَّا إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ فَقَدَرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْكَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَهَانًا. And when he, in other words, his Rabb, tests him, then restricts his provision, he says, my Lord has disgraced me. This surah tells us that Allah tests his abd by increasing or decreasing their sustenance. So in conclusion, wealth is not a sign of Allah's pleasure and closeness, or poverty a reflection of his displeasure and remoteness. And ayah 17 to 20 now conclude that people cause this economic disparity, not Allah. Look what he says. In 17 it says, كَلَّا بَلَّا تُكْرِمُونَ الْيَتِيمِ. Is it not that you do not honor the orphan? In other words, it's easy to honor the one above you, but how about those below you? And then, وَلَا تَحَاضُّونَ عَلَىٰ طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ. And you do not encourage each other to feed the poor. In other words, you're not motivated to feed those who do not have, or encourage others to tackle poverty by seeking out realistic long-term solutions. So first honor, then provide them with sustenance. And then he says, وَتَأْقُلُونَ التُرَاثَ أَكْلًا لَمَّا. And you eat up the inheritance of others with devouring greed. Instead of caring about them, you eat up their inheritance. Turath is inherited wealth, or wealth acquired without effort. And he continues, وَتُحِبُّونَ الْمَالَ حُبًّا جَمَّا. And you love wealth with excessive love. You love wealth and nothing matters. And now we come to the section, ayah 20, 21 to 26, which is a graphic depiction of the Day of Judgment and the regret of the defiantly disobedient. So Allah starts by saying, قَلَّا إِذَا دَكَّتِ الْأَرْضُ دَكَّا دَكَّا. Nay, when the earth is crushed with crushing upon crushing. Dakka means to pound into dust. So in other words, when the earth is pounded, turned to powder and flattened. وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ صَفًّا صَفًّا. And your Lord, your Rabb, comes with angels, rank on rank, row after row. This is an example of metaphorical language, because Allah is not bound to a location, so he cannot arrive nor depart. وَجِيعَ يَوْمَئِذٍ بِجَهَنَّمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ يَتَذَكَّرُ الْإِنسَانُ وَأَنَّ لَهُ الذِّكْرَ. And Jahannam is made to appear on that day, the day the human being will remember. But what good will this remembrance be for him? So on that day, humans will be awakened and remember such admonitions. The zone of action, the possibility of behaving correctly and purifying oneself in this world will be over. So the human being will cry, "Would that I had acted the right way during my life." Which means that at the moment he will recognize the reality of life and it will not be what he had thought it was. But then it's too late to make amends. Look what he says. He says, يَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي قَدَّمْتُ لِي حَيَاتِي. He will say, "Would that I have sent ahead good deeds for my life to come." He will say again and again, "What have I done to myself? How did I do this? I destroyed myself. If only I had invested in my future." And then Allah says, فَيَوْمَئِذٍ لَا يُعَذِّبُ أَذَابَهُ أَحَدٍ. But on that day, none will punish as he will punish. وَلَا يُوثِكُ وَثَاكَهُ أَحَدٍ. And none will bind as he binds. No one can be held responsible for anyone else's actions. A human being's actions dictate what his own condition and state will be in the next life. No one will be able to stand in his place. Everyone is accountable and will be rewarded accordingly. It's a unique state. And then the last four verses. They are the ultimate success, a tranquil soul. And Allah says, Ya ayyatuha nafsul mutma'inna. O tranquil soul, O soul at peace. Irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiya. Return to your Rabb, to your Lord, well pleased with Him and accepted by Him. These verses inspire hope, provide the criterion for success. They tell those who have attained the state of tranquility that it's time for them to return to their Rabb, well pleased with Him and having gained His pleasure and satisfaction. And finally, the last two ayat, فَادْخُلِي فِي عِبَادِي وَادْخُلِي جَنَّتِي. Enter amongst my slaves, enter amongst my servants, and enter into my garden, into my Jannah. So at this point, Allah says, enter into my arena, be hidden in the one and only garden of Tawheed, in that inner bliss. May Allah make us amongst those who have nafsul mutma'inna. Finally, the tranquil soul is one who prays his Fajr Salah, who takes advantage of the 10 days, who recites the even and odd Salah of the day, and when the night disappears, recites Salatul Layl and partakes Sehri to fast as much as possible. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says that the final four verses are about Aba Abdullah al-Husayn. May Allah always make us Husayni and raise us with Him on the day of Qiyamah.